Hi there. Welcome to the New Life Live podcast. Steve here. And since 1988, New Life has been transforming lives one life at a time. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's most hard, difficult places. One way we do this is through the live program that we share with our listeners here on this podcast. Now, you'll get to listen to callers bringing us their challenges, and our panel of counselors and psychologists provide insight, which you will learn from too. Let's go to today's podcast episode. Hi there, and welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with two really wonderful people. Here's something that makes them wonderful. They know their stuff, and they really do care about people. I'll give you a third one. Very connecting with people. I'm talking about Becky Brown and Alice Benton. Hi, welcome.
Hello.
Thanks for joining me here.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Becky.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Alice.
I am doing this little series at Christianity.com on narcissism. And so I'm going to just off the bat ask you a simple question. What is the most helpful thing a narcissist can do?
That's really easy to answer.
Okay. Here it is. Here's the answer from Becky. What could a narcissist do?
Well, I think the biggest challenge, it's not easy at all. It's the recognition that you might be a narcissist and that there is a wound behind the behavior, that yeah. It's not just all about ego. And I think that's something that people get wrong a lot about narcissistic behavior. But that awareness is really kind of challenging because most people who have narcissistic tendencies think it is everyone else's fault.
Right. You don't see things the way other people see them. So one thing that you can do is get somebody to help you see a disparity between what you have perceived and seen and what really happened. You know, my wife and I, we can leave a party and I'll say, great people. And she'll say, what are you talking about? I mean, he's obviously unfaithful and this kind of stuff. I didn't see it. And so I know that there's disparity there. Alice, what do you think?
Well, because attachment styles and woundedness starts from our family of origin experience. So going back to tell those stories of what happened with your parents, what was some of the early pain that you experienced, sometimes that's more accessible for someone struggling with narcissism to be able to start working through the pain with the historical pain.
Yeah, I think that is a door opener when you just say this. I don't have this thing at all. I'm the world's greatest non-narcissist ever. I ought to put a plaque up out in front of the house that I'm not a narcissist. All right. But then you say, but here's what I am willing to do. I'll look at what my childhood and early development was like. Is there something that I will not talk about? That's a clue that there's something there that could be big enough to cause narcissism to be a whole lifestyle and a way of dealing with people. So maybe it is. Look at the stories of your past and why are there stories you simply will not touch or look at?
My experience in clinical work when I have experienced a person that has narcissism going on is the defensiveness and the I'm so offended that you would even think that I have something wrong with me. Yeah. And yet here's the other person going, oh, well, I could give you a list of what's wrong with you. But it's really hard to just accept that we all have faults. And narcissism is not a fault. It is a wound that has been untreated and then over time becomes part of that person's persona. But there is help for a better life.
There is, and every caller that's on our board here, there's help for a better life. Lars, I'm going to go to you next. You are, well, it looks like you're calling from Switzerland on the internet. We'll get to you. And to you, 1-800-229-3000. Glad you're with us. Last day of the month. Is there anything you want to declare? It's got to be over. June, halfway through the year. I don't want it infecting the rest of my year. Make the declaration and talk to somebody about it. And then get in a group or get counseling to help reinforce the choice that you made. We'll be back, 1-800-229-3000.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Becky Brown and Alice Benton. And let's do it. Let's go to Switzerland and see what's going on there with Lars. How are you, Lars? Thanks for joining us here on New Life Live.
Hello. I'm doing okay. It's kind of a long and difficult question.
Okay.
Basically, I lost my faith a couple years ago. It was, you know, there wasn't like one big moment. It was just kind of a slow process. But one of the things that definitely contributed was that no one could really give me a satisfactory answer to my questions about the story of Job.
Okay.
So I guess and I've talked to so many people, and I just want to get past Job for a minute and focus on one thing that kind of bothers me more now, and that's Job's family and kids and the workers on his farm that also died in this, I don't know what to call it, ordeal, I guess.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, you know, they aren't given any names, and they're just kind of mentioned a couple of times that, you know, and first God goes after his all of his possessions, and his kids and his workers are kind of categorized amongst his possessions. And then once everything's over and Job's learned the lesson that he had to learn, God gives him a new family.
Yeah.
And new workers, new livestock. Oftentimes they're mentioned, like the kids and the livestock are mentioned oftentimes in the same sentence as though they have the same value.
Yeah, there are there are so many things in the Old Testament specifically that you read about and you wonder, well, how'd they make it in the Bible? And then why was that an acceptable practice back then and how does this fit? And I'm going to take you at your word that you've heard a lot of different explanations of that, and none of them are satisfactory. But I want to talk to you about something else. There are so many places in Scripture that make a lot of sense. And I'm wondering why you're not holding on to those. Like, this is weird and strange, and having multiple wives is weird and strange, a lot of things like that. But here's something to think about. Are you good enough to make it to heaven? Are you going to be able to be in the presence of a holy God? Have you made mistakes? Do they need to be paid for? And did Jesus do that? Or have you really given up on the whole concept? And it's not just about Job, and why would this be? And we, you know, to look at that kind of path that you were on, and find out what is there, because I don't want to lose you, and I think a lot of people have questions about Scripture, and they give up those amazing passages, like when Paul says, he's like, this amazing Christian says, I don't know. I mean, I try to do something. No, I need to do it. It's the right thing to do. I can't do it. And then I know something's not right, and I do it anyway. And he's a spiritual giant. Those things say to me, hey, this is real. And the only way Paul makes it to heaven, even though he's so great, is through the sacrifice of Jesus. And so I have a lot of different conclusions I've drawn. And I bet you've drawn some other ones that just this Job thing had just eliminated them from any kind of focus. And if they're not there, then, of course, your faith is just going to die.
Yeah, I'd like to clarify. It's mainly because, you know, you asked me why not just focus more on the good things. Well, because I see that kind of behavior reflected in other Christians. I see the negative things that I perceive in the Bible, I see that also embodied by people who then use the Bible as an excuse for that kind of behavior. And the Bible is supposed to be the unerring word of God, so I don't know could even have any bad in it, you know?
Yeah, but now you're basing some thoughts on people that really don't represent the Christian faith. The pastor that I hear most, a lot of his talk is about the Christians who aren't being Christian. They're either saying everything's okay, or they're the moralist that judges everybody and nobody likes them, and they become irrelevant. But I'm going to just see if Becky has anything she wants to add, and Alice, because it's a very complex issue that certainly I'm not going to solve for you, but I did just want to talk to you about other issues around this. Becky?
Yeah, well, you know, Lars, what I hear you saying is that the baby is in, like you're throwing the baby out with the bathwater. And there are so many things of Scripture that are so deep, that are beyond our comprehension. And the Bible isn't a dictionary or an encyclopedia where, you know, A equals B equals C. It's not linear that way. It is the Word of God that has been inspired to be written by man and to be interpreted through the Holy Spirit in our lives as we get into it. And whenever I hear somebody getting stuck on some of the things, now, Lars, here's what I would encourage you to do. There's a question that you have. It is, if you, you know, I wonder if you had the right answer, I wonder what that would be. And asking God, it's humbly asking God, give me insight on this. It doesn't make sense to me. And to be curious, as opposed to what a lot of folks do in faith, we want absolutes. And for those of us who are walking in faith, we know that we just need that mustard seed size faith. That God's ability to give enlightenment and awareness and insight to his word is amazing. But it is a long path. It is not a fill-in-the-blank kind of experience. And I think sometimes when people get into those kind of corners in their faith, it really reduces the magnificence of the word of God and how its power can change us and give us freedom and hope for the future.
Yeah. Very, very well said. Yeah. Alice, you have a thought here that might encourage?
Lars, I so respect that you continue to wrestle with this. You're paying close attention to Scripture, and you're not giving up on your question. And that's welcome in the faith. And there are many conversations in the Bible, I'm sure you're aware of humans wrestling with their questions and their doubts about God. Please keep that up, because you're still engaging by asking these questions, even if it's a turnoff and you're not sure what to think of God, but you're still asking. And I hope you will look at the ways those Christians have hurt you and let you down, because that almost inevitably affects the way we see and experience God. You have been hurt by hypocritical people in your life, and by getting healing and bringing attention to those hurts, getting treatment for those hurts, it may very well impact your ability to accept those confusing things about God in the Bible. But I do need to point out, it's Satan.
Oh, I've made peace with most of that. Yeah,
I'm glad to hear you've worked on that. Yeah. Lars, it is Satan that brings about those deaths. God does allow it, but it's Satan who asked permission to attack Job's family. That's an important distinction there.
Yeah, and it's not the norm, and it's really a difficult story to understand. But the main thing is, there are answers to all of your questions, and I hear this focus on the Christian that isn't very Christian. I wrote a book. I'm going to get you this book. I'm going to get it to Switzerland, mm-hmm. called Toxic Faith. Mm-hmm. And it explains the mode that people go into when they really aren't practicing the faith the way Jesus lived out the faith or the way it was taught. I'll send that to you. And I hope and pray that anybody else, you will. There are places like back to the Bible. You can ask them these questions and these amazing Bible scholars will answer them for you. And I think their answers are great. And even I got to call them sometimes and clarify some things. But there are a lot of things in Scripture that just don't need clarification. They're just so plain. All right, let's go to Rose from Las Vegas, Nevada. Hi, Rose. How are you today?
Hi, I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm okay, and I wish I'd had better answers for Lars, but, man, it's tough when we really get hung up on Scripture and a story. But how are you, and how could we help you today? What's on your mind? That's what I care about now.
I wanted to, I guess, know if intimacy in marriage would still be a step that I could take in my marriage when I've given up hope for my husband to be a safe place for me.
So, and does that mean emotionally, spiritually, or physically safe?
All of those.
All of them, okay.
Yeah, so a couple years back, he did physically hurt me. And he hasn't since, but he is sometimes just kind of has rage.
Okay, and you're still living with him? You're still living with him?
Yes.
Okay. Did he do anything about hitting you? Did anything happen good as a result of that? Did he get help?
So we did separate. We were separated for about a year. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, you know, he read a bunch of books that I told him to read. Mm-hmm. He went to counseling. He got help. But the thing is, he does lie and leave a lot of information out of his stories. So okay. His perception of reality is kind of really skewed.
Okay. So are you safe to be with him?
That's the thing, is that he hasn't touched me since that incident a couple of years ago. But I just kind of have a fear in my body. And, you know, he kind of has no ego strength. And so any conversation that's upsetting to him, he just kind of gives me red flags because he gets so emotional.
Okay, so here's what I'm hearing, that you probably aren't really safe, and he has not really helped himself to become a safe person and a good person to be married to. Becky, you want to take it from here?
Well, I'm just thinking, Rose, that a lot of times in situations like this, we do situational fixing. So you said that there was this incident, he did some counseling, but you're still at square one as you describe your relationship. So we have had couples that have come to intimacy and marriage that have had restraining orders. You know, I mean, so if the question is that, you could get separate rooms and all that. I think what's happening is when you describe him becoming emotional and that triggers something in you, you have to have a counselor that can work with the two of you, not just him calm down so that you guys can sail off to the sunset. It's literally, how do we have conversations? How do we, you know, get through this? And it, you know, if somebody is raging, there's a wound or a fear behind the rage. And if someone's lying, it's because they're afraid to be real. And it's either because someone told them that they weren't enough or that they had to perform, you know, in a certain way, be perfect. But I think you guys have just begun the journey of healing so that you can make a decision about going forward in your life together.
Yeah, so we'll talk about some different things that could be done now, because I really think it's up to you. And up to now, maybe he's gotten the message he doesn't really need to be different because you're not forcing him to be different. But I'm sad for you. I hate it that we end up in these places where the person seems like there's more hatred than love, more anger than peace. And you try, you do everything. I know people like you. You try everything to win and change, and it just doesn't do a thing. We'll be back after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Back, Steve Arterburn here, talking about a very sad situation where a person doesn't respond to any kind of help, and we end up with kind of a dead marriage. Alice, what are you thinking? What should she do? What's the best hope here?
Well, I do believe intimacy in marriage could help you and your husband, even with what has taken place, Rose. And because there's still time between now and July 28th when we have our next weekend, if that counseling he went to previously ended, I would have you ask him to re-enter individual and couples therapy now. And his willingness to do so or not will give you some evidence about whether or not then trying to attend intimacy in marriage will be helpful, if he'd even be willing to do so. And there are a couple of signs you should look for. Because he hasn't again engaged in physical aggression, that's certainly not sufficient, but there's been a little bit of change. There's been a little bit of work. What we also want to look for, Rose, is remorse. Is he able to express remorse for what he did? Is he able to take responsibility that nothing you did could justify him being physically aggressive? And is he willing to be in ongoing help? That is just the starter for signs of whether or not this could become safe again. So make those requests, and that will help you decide about intimacy in marriage.
Becky, what would you have her do if you could wave a magic wand? Well, maybe Becky got cut off there. All right, so I'm just going to encourage you to hang on.
Oh, sorry about that.
Oh, no problem. I'm going to send you worthy of her trust. But Becky, do you have some things you think that would be best for her to do?
Well, I was agreeing with Alice, but I also, my heart goes towards couples counseling in situations like this, because while if you say he's a liar and he goes to counseling and then he comes back home, you might get the good report. And you two need to learn how to have communication with each other. Safe, honest, open, transparent. And that's only going to happen in a couple's situation. He can do individual counseling, but I think that's where you guys have to get focused.
Yeah, I don't think him doing something on his own, other than something that relates to integrity or the anger issue, has any credibility at all. I think it needs to be together, is my perspective. All right. Send you worthy of her trust, and I'd like you to read it with him, and let's see if some of that is there or not. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, got a great workshop, Every Man's Battle. It's online. It's this weekend, and it could really change everything for you. Actually, it's next weekend, July the 8th. You can still sign up today. All right. Let's go to Maria, Cary, North Carolina. How you doing, Maria?
I'm doing well.
Tell me what's going on and why you called and what you hope for here.
Okay, so my question is how to speak truth to a family member whose wife left him. I mean, left him divorce papers and a note and then just gone. And he's not a believer. And we touched on that when I spoke with him. And he has a plan to kill himself next week.
Oh.
I know.
Okay.
And my brother, and which he knew, committed suicide. And so I felt like I couldn't be silent. And I reached out. And he reached back. And we spoke. And he's like, no, the die is cast. I'm done. I can't live without her. She was everything.
Wow.
And I said, you know, so my question is, what do I do? You know, I told him my brother's favorite verse, the Romans 10:9-10, you know, if you confess. But I said, you need to get right with God. He said, well, you know, I'm not that religious. I said, well, you need to be. I said, you're a child of God. And he had a horrible upbringing, and I've been listening to the other callers, the whole, you know, the wounds that were never treated. He is getting counseling right now. I texted him this morning, and he said, no, my counselor, I said, if you need to talk, I was going into work, so I couldn't, but he said, no, my counselor is on call. So I just need to know with the information I have, I mean, he has a plan.
Yeah, I hear
and
you.
And he said she.
So let's hear from let's
her.
Okay, so let's hear from two people that have and do deal with folks that are suicidal, set the date and have the plan, because that's what we need to deal with. We can't get into long-term stuff if he's not willing to keep himself alive. That is the goal. Let's start with you, Alice. What do you think here?
Oh, Marianne, thank you for interceding for him. You obviously care about him, and you're doing everything you can to help. And, of course, when someone is at this severity level of actually setting a date and admitting to it, this is one of the more severe cases. And so you may need to consider calling in other professional help. So I want to go through just a couple of questions and then suggestions. How old is he?
Okay. 40.
And are, does he have children?
No.
And are there any other men in the family that are decent, trustworthy men that might be willing to be involved?
I'm going to say no to that.
All right, you hear the music, and so we'll be coming back to you after the break, and we'll walk through some steps that you can take to do what you can on your part. And thank you again for being that person in his life.
Thank you for what you all do.
1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. We want to help you with everything we have. And it's difficult to help a friend. Less difficult to help someone where you're married to or they're a child. But here, we'll just do the best we can with what we think Maria could do to help. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. We'll be back right after this.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Club New Life supporters who give a monthly donation because they want to continue to offer help and hope in these very, very difficult places. To find out more about Club New Life, you can go to our website, newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, if you're new to us, we drop an episode every weekday. We would love it if you would rate or write a review, which helps more people discover help and hope and helps us share wisdom with as many people as possible. Now, let's listen to our counselors as they help people walk through life's hardest places.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and it's one of those situations where somebody wants to help a friend, not related, and they're determined that they're going to commit suicide on a certain date. Alice, continue what you were saying there. She's a friend of this person. What is the most she can do to help in this situation?
Well, Marianne, the fact that he told you means there's a slight opening. There may be some underlying desire for intervention. So a couple of things you can do. You can ask to speak with his counselor. And or if you know who his counselor is, you can just call the counselor and give this information directly, because a counselor can receive outside information even if they can't respond to questions or disclose information. You can call the PET team, which is a psychiatric emergency team, and you can just look up the PET team in your area. And it's a team of social workers, of counselors, and sometimes police as well, that will go to his residence and evaluate him, and they can intervene and potentially even hospitalize him based on both your information and what he says to them. The police also can, you can call 911 if need be, and they can go out, they can do the same thing, evaluate and intervene.
Yeah, and I don't know of any other thing. Well, Becky, do you have anything you want to add to this?
I mean, the obvious thing is that we would want to report this because he does have a plan. That's pretty much protocol. You know, suicide is a permanent decision to a temporary situation, and he is flooded right now with despair. He's overwhelmed at the loss of his marriage. And so he probably, you know, like you said, Alice, he's got this opening. He's just sad. He's just overwhelmed. So what you can do is say, tell me more about how you feel.
Yeah.
And maybe even give him some feeling words, because it's hard to describe. You know, he just says, I can't go on. And what you want to do is say, well, tell me how that feels. And that sounds like a counselor, but here's the thing, Marion, you don't have to fix this problem, mm-hmm. but you do have to keep him safe. And you want to say, will you commit to me that you will not take your life, that you have value and we want to see you live long and beyond this, and you will get through this. And there, all of us have had those experiences where we're just devastated with something that has come up. But we want to instill hope and we want to give a little bit of pathway. But, you know, you do need to report this. Don't hesitate, because if he does decide to take his life, this will impact you in a greater way than you even can imagine.
It sure will. All right.
And the police have been to his home, so.
Okay. Well, then they will have
and
a record.
I think there is. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What?
And there
you think there's what?
As you were on break, there is, you said a male family member, and I did think of one.
Okay. Very good. So, now, I'm sorry we're out of time here. But I want to be sure. I'm going to give you Take Your Life Back. I'll send that. And healing is a choice for you. Maybe you could take one over to this friend, because if he would read the part on grieving, he might see there's another path to ending it all. We can end the pain in a different way. Well, I'm not going to say speaking of pain, here's Larry Sonnenberg. But Larry is in the studio. And Larry, you always bring a testimony. And I was thinking that there are many women that are listening and you're not reading the testimony of their husband, because he hasn't gone to every man's battle. There isn't one, except for the struggle and the pain that's still there. What do you say to that woman that we'd love to read the testimony of her husband, but he's going to have to come and she's probably going to have to facilitate that?
Well, I would say that you should make the first call. You call us at 800 New Life, and you say, my husband needs this, and I want him to come and start the process. We'll have to talk to him and get him to say, okay, I'm going to come. But you need to start that process. We have a lot of guys that come there. When I used to go to all these workshops, I'd stand at the door, greet every guy, and I'd say, how'd you learn about this? And probably, maybe a little less than half, they'd kind of stumble and say, well, my wife. You know, my wife told me I had to come. You know, my wife. And I'd always say, you're going to thank her when this is all over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but I'm so glad you're here.
Yeah.
And so, ladies, do what you can to help. Next week, I'm going to bring in a testimony from a wife. We've got a 3-page letter, Steve. You've seen that.
Yeah,
and there are excerpts from that that just encourage you, women, because of the change that her husband had. And so please help us.
Please do. 1-800-NEW-LIFE helps us reach folks. And 1-800-NEW-LIFE is where you can call to help the person you believe needs that help. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you, Larry.
All righty.
Let's go to Melissa. She's calling from Washington, D.C., listens on a podcast. Hi, Melissa. How are you today, and how could we help you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
I'm calling. It's a lot of complication, but the basic is 4 years ago, my husband, we've been married 10 years now. We've done the intimacy in marriage. He's done the every man's battle. I did women in the battle a few years before, so about 7 years ago, maybe.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a do-or-die thing then. But basically, it's my second marriage. I've been told by our Christian counselor that he is a narcissist. And my first marriage, I was married to a narcissist. 4 years ago, he was investigated for my daughter. I have 4 grown children. My youngest was 10 when we got married. And she kind of hit puberty and things went a little weird. And I have some trauma in my background. Anyhow, what came out of the investigation was that they made me aware. I didn't know what grooming was, but they said that he had been grooming her. And
preparing her for being
20,
she was preparing her for him to use her sexually. That's what we're talking about.
Yes. he had, was pushing boundaries, and it was just really unhealthy.
So what happened with all that?
16, 17, just they ended up telling me, I just told her to answer whatever questions they had and to be honest, because she was worried about him. He works in law enforcement, and she was concerned about him getting in trouble, losing his job and whatnot. And I said, don't worry about it. You know, if he gets in trouble, it's because of choices he made, not you. We ended up, in the end, they just said that he had been grooming her. They felt very strongly about that, but basically hadn't done anything to that they could do anything with as far as
So nothing happened.
Being in trouble.
Nothing happened to him. So then what happened?
No.
What happened?
Then we moved her. We were in California at the time, and I'm from New England, so we moved her back to her father's. He had moved back to New England, and she ended up living with him the last 2 years of high school, and then she graduated 2 years ago. I'm back in New England now.
How is she doing? How is she doing?
She is not doing well. She is using alcohol a lot. She turns 21 the end of this month.
Yeah. Have you ever talked with her about choosing him over her and staying with him? Have you ever talked to her about
it? Yes. And that's the problem basically in my family now. Because I told her at first, like, I wasn't strong enough to leave. I had my own trauma that I've been dealing with for my lifetime. Even though, like, I could see things that made me uncomfortable, I don't know why, but I didn't do anything about it.
Okay. All right.
And she now has, like, she just has nightmares. She has...
Sure.
I can't even touch her to wake her up because she's startled. And I've asked her if she's told me everything that happened, and she said no because she didn't want to hurt me. But our relationship, mine and hers, like she's resenting me because I stayed with him and he's a Christian. And I guess that's where my question comes in, because now our kids are grown, and I have grandkids, and that I've got parents of the grandkids that are not wanting the kids to come to my house because he is there and he has this history, and then he says, you know, we're Christians.
Melissa, tell me something before the break. Has he gotten treatment, and is he still in treatment for what he did to your daughter?
No. We did counseling, Christian counseling, but that's all, but he doesn't always follow through with the counseling what the Christian counselor has told him to do.
Okay, we get it. So we got to go to this break. It's a hard break. I'm so glad you called and give us some opportunity to help you here. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, the tough thing usually is the thing to do. That's what I found in my life. It's hard to do the tough thing. And we'll talk about that and many other things right after this break. Break. You're listening to New Life.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Artiman here. We're talking now with Melissa. And Alice, I'd like you to just pick this up and give her some help or direction. What are you thinking?
Melissa, would you allow me to give you some credit?
Yes.
I'm going to counter your statement that you didn't do anything, because you did support your daughter in speaking up for the truth and in answering that investigation and allowing it to happen. Now, it may not have been enough. I'll acknowledge that. But Melissa, I have worked with women who chose their husband to the extent of telling their children they were liars and of interrupting the investigation, not even allowing it to take place. So I credit you that you supported your daughter in participating in it. Thank you for that. Now, would you give us your question about how can we help you now with this situation?
My older daughter, who's 28, my younger daughter has, you know, shared with all, the whole family, so we're kind of ostracized. But the older daughter had a very good heart-to-heart with me this year, and she was just concerned for me with how my husband talks to me, and she said, basically, I'm turning into, like, she's losing her mom because I'm becoming a shell of who I used to be. And so they are very much in favor of me separating and divorcing. And as a Christian, I just don't know. They're not Christian, so they don't understand the grace. And
well, wait.
I've put up boundaries.
Well, okay, hold on a second. Your husband has an untreated problem. And we don't give grace to untreated problems. We give direction. Because giving them grace and not requiring anything tells them it's not so bad. Keep doing it. It's okay. You're endorsing it. And you're using this, well, we need to give them grace as an excuse for not doing the tough thing. And this has nothing to do with forgiveness or grace. This has to do with a man not getting the help he needs and us not knowing what it is he's still doing that could be hurting other people. Becky, what are you thinking here?
Well, the other thing, I'm thinking you, Melissa, I'm not the warm and cuddly type, but I would give you the big hug if I saw you, because I hear your heartbreaking. The other thing is your daughters are not Christians, and let me tell you, they probably aren't going to be one if this means what it means. You know, he's not safe. Yeah. You are having the effect of this. And I think when you're making a decision about divorce, it's not A to Z. It's you, Melissa, I want you to get into help. And then as you get stronger to make a decision, the easy thing would be to say, yeah, leave him. But the horse is out of the barn at this point. Like, there's so many repercussions from you staying with him this long that I don't know what it would be like for you to leave him at this point. So you need counselor. You personally need a counselor. You need women around you that can speak truth into you. And your family needs healing. There is a lot that goes into this, but this is not about you being a Christian. Like, this is that's not where this is right here.
Well, let me cut to the chase. I want to know, Melissa, if you have ever thought about why you've used this grace and forgiveness thing as an excuse to let everybody else walk out of your family against you except for a couple and then him. Why? What is there that causes you this path? If we could help you with that, we would. Can you think
of? I've had trouble with boundaries in my life. I grew up in foster care, and then my ex-husband, I was married for 18 years, and he left for another woman and turned his back on God, and we were homeless for about 5 months, me and four kids, he kind of forgot that he had four kids, and I think there is like a fear of just being back in that kind of position and not being able to provide for my kids, like whether it's help with college or anything
so,
like that.
So here's the thing. You were afraid you'd be back in that place. This guy is paying for things, and so you've stayed put. But we need to get help for him.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what else he's doing. And that will get help for your family, because they'll see you after all this time doing some things. And that's the real evidence of your faith, is that you're doing something rather than stay afraid of what it might lead to.
Melissa, I want you to think about the book of Matthew, chapter 18. because in that book we are given permission to separate from unrepentant sinners when we've tried treatment like you have, and they still are not remorseful and their behavior is not changing sufficiently. And spotty treatment attendance after what he did is insufficient. And so a separation is not at all an unchristian thing to do. It is biblically supported if he is only engaging infrequently in treatment.
Can I say one more thing,
yeah, please,
Steve?
Yeah, throw it in there real quick.
Melissa, here's the bottom line. Because of your history, you need deep healing. And then whatever he ends up doing, that would be great. But I want you to get to that healing place where you know you can make good decisions, that you can be really seen and heard in all of your relationships. I would suggest that one of the first requirements is you have him attend Every Man's Battle, which is going to be in a few days here. So, you know, it could make all the difference in the world.
Right. I've tried to have him come back to it because he did do it about 8 years ago, 7 or 8 years ago, when everything kind of started. When we got married, we were both Christians, and I didn't know, though, until after we were married, that he was an alcoholic, and then he struggled with pornography.
Well, and also, he just didn't do what you have to do when you graduate from it. He didn't stay and go to the meetings and stuff, and maybe you didn't know he had to. But I'm counting on, from this phone call, that you would see nothing in the faith that would prevent him from getting the help that he needs to get. That I want you to have a counselor to give you some really good, solid advice so that you really do know this is the direction that God wants me to take. And whether you take it or not, that's your decision. But I hope you will take it. Somehow you'll see that need. So I want you to hold on here. We come up with sometimes, this is what happens to us. We come up with these, what I call fatal excuses. Or reasons or something like that. And it becomes the thing that prevents the action that will cause change and produce transformation. And we need to look at those things. And it's when you don't have the courage or the strength to do it yourself, then you bring in somebody else to help you to do it. Very, very tough situation. Thank you, Alice Benton, for all that you are, do, and say. Thank you, Becky, for being here. God bless both of you. And if you need some help, you can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'd love for you to do that. And also, if you can help us, it's that same number, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. From all of us at New Life, we wish you the best. We pray for the best for you. And we're doing here things to get you to the best life you can live. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Bye-bye. Thanks so much for listening. We hope something you heard will help you live in freedom today. If this content was helpful for you, we would love it if you'd take a minute, leave us a review, post about it, and rate it. Remember, we have resources and workshops online for you as you continue your journey. Go to newlife.com and find out more information. And thank you for being part of the New Life community. We know that God desires all of us to live a life of wholeness and healing, and we're so glad that you're here.